Well, we're here. Derek Beckles is the guest on this episode.
Pinky Carnage, a.k.a. also known as, I don't know if he has a third a.k.a. Pinky Carnage. Maker of TV Carnage.
And creator, visionary behind
Hot Package.
Hot Package on and Adult Swim.
Totally for teens.
How long did that last? Do we go through that in the
episode? I mean, you talk about it in the episode. Totally for Teens was a pilot. So I think it was just 21 minutes, maybe. I don't think it was 11. I think it was 21.
Now, how did you see it? Because I saw it because he sent me the pilot after the episode we did.
Yeah, he sent me the pilot, sort of either a rough cut of it. I don't know if that's legal, but I think I saw it while it was being made because it was such a big deal. I mean, Derek was already doing VBS TV, Truth.
For Vice magazine.
And then he'd done TV Carnage, but something like Totally for Teens was his first, like, totally comedy thing.
There's talented people, there's super talented people, and then you get into this stratum of genius. I hate to say this to Derek to embarrass him, but...
Or maybe, like, he is inspired.
Talking TV Carnage... Totally for Teens, and after he sent me a few episodes of Hot Package,
that's great.
It's
so funny.
It's flawless. Yeah. It's unbelievably.
Did you see the bloopers episode?
It's beyond funny. I shake my head when I see stuff like that because, it's what's going on in my head 24 hours a day, and for someone to actually record this and visualize it the way Derek lays it out on Hot Package, I just. Same with Tim and Eric. When I saw the first time I saw Tim and Eric, awesome show.
Yeah,
I wasn't laughing. I was just shaking my head, going, "This is incredible." And that's the same. And same with Wonder Shows, and the same reaction right. I had when I saw Hot Package. And
that's all the same family, you know.
Yep.
Tim and Eric's production company does Hot Package. Vernon Chapman worked with Derek on Totally for Teens. So I mean, it really from Wonder Shows and. Vernon Chapman. And so it's all the same sort of corner of this universe. And you know who else is really deserving of a lot of praise, except he didn't work on Derek's show, is this guy Doug Lesenop, who's the editor on Tim and Eric Awesome Show, probably of all of that other stuff.
Very important.
To it, and also Portlandia as well, you know, and I think the editing and the cuts have so much to do with,
absolutely.
With stuff.
They determine the pace and the the wavelength that the show reaches out to people, which is kind of the same wavelength that I think all three of us were on. Mm. And we were able to have a nice discussion with Derek.
And that's Derek's also an editor, essentially, as much as he's anything else, but in like a really awesome way, because that's what TV Carnage was really based on. That's what I think separated it from any of the other found footage kind of stuff.
And
it had like a real, it did have an edge to it. Like it was really curated with like, he just was catching everything, you know, and then would
which
focus
is unbelievable.
On the small, funniest thing.
If that's an unbelievable feat unto itself to catch everything
really
on
is.
TV.
Yeah.
And then to shape it the way he did and present it, it's genius. And then, Totally for Teens, Hot Package. We've known Derek for...
A combined total, if you combine how long we've known him, what, 40 years? No, I've probably known him for like
maybe
15.
15 is the same years. With me. I think we both met him around the same time.
Yeah, a crazy time. Canadian Music Week, 1998, man.
You go back to those times and see what all those people are doing today. And
they're probably all dead.
It's pretty impressive. Oh. And the one thing is... they're doing it abroad, all these Torontonian, Canadian-type people.
Well, I think genius-level-inspired stuff here winds
up... Can't be contained.
Beyond not being contained, if you try to do it here, what winds up happening is you are put in the same boat as everyone else because it's like, as Lorne Michaels says in a really good Alec Baldwin interview, an egalitarian society in Canada. So you wind up having people who are really great working on stuff that is not even anything. But yeah, here's the interview with Derek Beckles. Enjoy. To the max.
Touch the volume of hair on my chest right now.
What the fuck are you doing?
Holy cow.
It's too much.
Is that for your audition?
I don't want to talk about the audition.
So it's some sort of like werewolfy type role you're going out for?
Yeah.
I'm going out for the role of a man who has more hair on his chest than and dick than
Nick
on
is
his
showing
face.
Us, Nick is showing us all his chest hair.
That'd be great if you had like a perfect, like just a middle part right at the right. head of your.
Yeah, if it just was like a
doodle-doo.
Like a comb over.
Yeah, a joke where I talk better. About a dick comb over.
Well, Derek Beckles is
hey, this
here.
Is a dick comb over.
Oh, jeez. There you go. You ruined it.
Improv. Riffing.
Derek Beckles is here from, well, let's see.
Can I list it off?
Sure.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Although you've been playing down in interviews lately how Toronto, you've been calling yourself a transplanted Canadian or sometimes like someone who knows about Canada.
Really?
No, it's not true.
Nah, I read one interview where it called you like.
Oh, yes. It's somebody else paraphrasing.
I think you also are a bit of a land traveler and a nomadic man who follows just wherever television happens.
Yeah.
I think the last time I saw you was at an airport, to be honest. Derek.
But you got him from, TV Carnage, right? That's one. Before that, punk bands.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And then after
that, I did stints on The Hour.
You did The Hour?
Oh, yeah.
VBS?
VBS. I wrote for Vice forever.
Yeah. Truth.com?
Yeah, I did the Truth commercials in those days. I did, then I did. I helped them set up VBS and did a bunch of stuff on VBS.
And now?
And now I'm fortunate enough to be doing a show on Adult Swim.
That's great.
In the America. And it's the second project I'm doing with them. The first one was called The Best of Totally for Teens, which was a fake teen show that I did with Vernon Chapman and Ari Fishman. Vernon Chapman is he writes on Louis C.K. now, but he also was a main contributor to South Park and did
Wonder Shows
and
also did, Xavier Renegade Angel.
Xavier Renegade Angel, and he's also doing. A new show on Adult Swim called Heart She Hollers.
Yeah. How did you
and
get
don't forget,
up?
This is an underrated Vernon Chapman contribution, Final Flesh.
Oh, well, I was going to say Final Flesh. Okay, we'll get into that. Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with him? Is that just LA networking?
No, I wanted to do this like teen show, and Nick Weidenfeld at the time was at Adult Swim, and I talked to him about he liked TV Carnage a lot, and a lot of people at Adult Swim who had shows on at the time and in some cases still do. We're talking about TV Carnage a lot, and Tim and Eric and all these great people, so Nick was like, hey man, you should do something with Adult Swim, and I was like, I'd love to. So I pitched him three ideas, and I don't even remember what the other ones were. I think the other one was like kind of a game show, a really fucked up game show. And anyways, he went with his teen show idea where we got bleachers of like about 60 teens who thought it was a real teen show. And it was called The Best of Totally for Teens.
You got to see this.
Pardon me. And they, so these kids thought, and I was like dressed like a middle-aged Jonas brother, like just a guy who's way too fucking old to be dressed that way. And, and I'm the host of the show, and I'm just like so morally corrupt and ethically unsound, and the things I say and do and what we do in the show are so insane, and the kids are like, like so amped up thinking it's a real show, and they're going to be on, fuck, who knows what they thought they were going to be on. And
Nick at Night or
something?
Yeah,
like probably Nickelodeon or something. And they all had like Totally for Teens t-shirts on and everything. And we there's nothing like lying to children.
Patrick has a really memorable cameo, as does our friend Polly.
Yeah, Polly Cotton.
Yeah, and
a Toronto local. You'll find him drunk on Queen Street. Leo Fitzpatrick was in it. So was John the Stutterer from Howard Stern.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in it briefly.
I don't even remember that.
He's like a little Easter egg. I love using people for shows.
He's wild. He
like really in like really quick snippets. And
I'm sure you
like,
know the difference between Stuttering John and John the Stutterer.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, they're
Stuttering John went on to The Tonight Show.
Yeah, exactly.
John the Stutterer
went on to a serious show where he was basically yelling at people about if they expressed right-wing views and making you feel bad, but while stuttering, of course, and making you feel bad about basically left-wing people, because he'd just be like,
yeah,
he was so full of shit.
As a stern, as a stern head, how did you even hook up with him?
It was myself, my buddy Chris Grismer directed it.
Oh, I know Chris.
Yeah, and Chris is awesome. So he, and I really wanted him to do it because I knew he would get it.
He did one of our videos a long time
ago. Yeah. He did, and he did like Death from Above videos, and he's done a lot of really good videos. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, he's and Totally guy. For Teens is really good, and really it's actually I think I've watched it maybe 3 times now. Like every once in a while, I do like a revisit with that one in particular, and it actually gets better every time because it's really dense. It's like
yeah,
super,
I try to make these shows super dense. Stuff. Yeah.
And how long did that go for?
That ended up being. See, the funny thing about that is it was a pilot that to this day the network still says they regret not picking up. And people were like, it was such a weird journey because people were pissed off and saying, when are you going to pick this up? And then they had this online competition for pilots that didn't pick up to see what pilot was going to get picked up.
Wasn't it sponsored too? It was sponsored like by Flakey's or whatever.
It was sponsored by Burger King.
Yes.
So I always referred to it as the hamburger store competition.
Right.
And I was like, great, a hamburger store is going to decide my fate.
I didn't even know how to participate in that too because it was like kind of in that, like Facebook was going up. It was before like there was like, it felt like you could really.
It was in the 60s, man. We changed the world.
Yeah, it was like even 57, it was more beat era.
We stopped a world.
War and just turned it into a country war. Just we would go for the, one country.
A world war in the late 60s. Jimi Hendrix, President Jimi Hendrix, you know, all
signs
the,
everywhere.
Yeah. So I, you know, so they were like, we want to do another show with you. And I was like, okay. So then I came up with this idea called Hot Package. Actually, it had no name at the time. It was just like an Entertainment Tonight. Right. Fuck around.
Carnagetainment Tonight.
I was actually calling it Carnagetainment Tonight for a little while.
Yeah.
And then,
did we mention TV Carnage hard? I feel like we glossed over that.
I was thinking we were going to go over there. Yeah. But let's continue with this, yeah, and then we'll go back to TV Carnage.
Mm. So, what I basically look for is like a delivery system for this any altered universe that I create. And so picking formats or genres people are familiar with definitely helps. And then I try not to parody them too much. I just try to use their framework, as I was saying, as like as a delivery system, and then you can just go anywhere you want from there. So when I wanted to do this Entertainment Tonight type show, I was talking to Lazo, who runs Adult Swim, and he got it, and Nick got it, but I think a lot of other people were just like, oh, you just want to do a parody of Entertainment Tonight? And I was like, whoa. Yeah. If we do a parody of Entertainment Tonight, we're going to shoot ourselves in the fucking foot, because those shows are so self-parodying on a constant basis, and they'll always be one step ahead of you in terms of like how desperate they are and how insane they are and what they think is... When they try to be cool, it's amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the lessons are just to try, like, do your own version of trying to be cool like them.
Yeah.
You know, be super excited about movies that actually are crappy, like they do. So I use my own, like, films that we get the rights to all the footage we use. So we just find films that really titillate me in a way that I would use on TV Carnage. And stars from the films and just people who want to be celebrities but aren't quite there yet. Who knows what'll happen to them? People have their own approach to their art and their craft.
Oh, yeah.
and you always run into people who are like, I mean, you see it all the time. It's like, I want to be a singer. I want to be an actor. And you watch them do what they think is singing or acting. And you're like, wow. Yeah. And depending on how committed they are, depending on how they approach it, it's such a significant wow. You're like, that's never going to fly, but it's pretty fucking memorable. So, yeah,
and to be clear, we're not talking about like William Hung types or any of the people who really make it. In fact, that winds up kind of negating the Carnage aspect.
Yeah, I mean, the
although then it even the fact that Extra or something is covering William
Hung.
Well,
that's where you get into it. Yeah. Is the fact like now they'll be covering a guy like that and like be elated about some guy's success.
They'll always have some X-rated thing they'll say. Like, get hung for Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, like...
It's rife with innuendo. They're horrible shows. But I'm addicted to them because they're so horrible and they're so schizophrenic. And, you know, it's just... It's... the other day, this kid came to me and he's like, I love the show. I feel like I did 2 lines. of TV cocaine. I was like, well, bless your heart.
So, okay, so let's get back to TV Carnage then.
Yeah.
For you to do a show like TV Carnage, you're a TV addict.
Yeah, and I mean, it was largely, when I say largely, 100% illegal. So, like, I didn't get the rights for anything. But I used everything as like this collage, and I often refer to it as frustrated animation. I'm not a very stealth animator, so I tend to try and find moments that will help me get across some sort of, you know, statement or
idea.
Or so I use, you know, I'll just use tons of different clips, but they all take you somewhere and they all melt into one another, and there's kind of a weird arc, and then before you know it, you've watched an hour and 10 minutes of the most atrocious TV. And when I say atrocious, I'm not just saying like stuff like it's like, oh, let's just, you know, like I wouldn't, like my rules were like not to put on just anything. Like I wouldn't rip on Friends, even though like I hated Friends, you know, or something like that.
It's too easy, right?
It's too easy. It's the people who are like making commercials for like, for, we were just talking about one of them for.
The audition that? I had today?
No. We'll get to that too. No, but making commercials for, what was that?
Which one?
That chain of restaurants.
Chipotle?
No, Chickle
oh, Pickle Powell. Barrel.
Pickle Chow.
Pickle Barrel. And of course,
yeah, Pickle Barrel.
Frank D'Angelo are interesting. Yeah.
So, right. I mean, these people are, all these things are earnest, right? Regional, like, they're amazing. Ads. Like regional ads and,
yeah,
and Canadian soap operas and things that, just amazing mistakes that people have made. Or decisions, I prefer to say. Decisions that people have made in front of the camera that I'm obsessed with.
Here's my question that I always wanted to ask. How did you get all this footage? Because this is back in the VHS days, right?
Yeah, it was like
what were you taping? Like were you taping commercials?
Taping TV constantly. I always had, and a friend of mine, Jesse, was doing it too, and we would always tape TV.
See, I wish I knew you guys back then, because I would have done the same thing had I known that people were actually doing this to compile something.
I think part of why it hit was because, to some extent, there was a large amount of people that, even if they weren't using a video recorder to do it, there was something in their head that was like recording these moments.
It really struck a nerve. It really struck a nerve. It's kind of like, you know, this is pre. I mean, you know, the first one was like released to the public. We've been doing it for a while, but the first one that I put out was in 1996.
Yeah.
It was an hour and 10 minutes, and it struck a chord with people because I would get people like sending me letters. That's right. Using the postal system.
What are the,
it's like an email, but you can touch it.
like it's a screen that you touch with words on it?
Kind of.
Like, without getting
it's made from papyrus. And they would send me, but I'd get a lot of people responding like, oh my God, I do the same thing, and sending me tapes. Or just, as you just said, Nick, just people just basically going like, I have a mental catalog of so many things I've seen on TV.
Absolutely.
That are completely insane, and I wish I had a tape at the time, and there's so many that got away. Like, I remember I was watching Much Music years ago, and Bryan Adams was talking about his tour, and it was like some late night, it was like
maybe
the late shift, and it was like, oh, let's check out some of that tour footage. And they go to look at the tour footage, and it's just like this chick with a basket and a see-through dress, and you can see her nipples, and she's walking to a room full of guys in capes, and she like lies on the altar, and one of the guys starts like scooching her dress up, and I was like, I don't know if this is tour footage. And she just like starts blowing all these guys, and I was like, somebody put like switch the wrong little switch over it. Much music. And over top of it, it's just like, yeah, so I'm gonna be, you know, Sarnia, always a great town. Love Sarnia, and then I'm very excited never to get heard back anything there.
More about it. Yeah. It just happened. Never mentioned. And that's Canadian television.
Like, there's like basically it's like Little Red Riding Hood or whatever the fuck they were trying to get across with this porn, but she's blowing these guys that are dressed like monks, and he's like, oh, I can't wait to get back to Halifax.
Owen so Sound, funny. Can't wait to do Owen Sound.
It's so, you know, awesome.
But that's like, I think
so good.
Like, Canada specifically seems like the breeding ground for this kind of thing.
There's all kinds, but I mean, all that stuff that's on those tapes are from America. Blue Blockers and...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the ads, a lot of the infomercials, it was like infomercial heyday. Mm-hmm. They're kind of going back to, infomercial heydays again, where they're just losing their minds and doing these long format infomercials
right.
that just are meandering hard sells.
One of the best infomercials from the 80s, early 90s was the Tom Vu seminar.
Oh, yeah.
Which I actually attended.
You did not?
Yes.
And?
It was awesome. I mean, obviously, we went for a joke, right?
Yeah.
And
obviously.
You got some pointers. Right? Yeah. Well, you know, when someone says I went to the seminar, you don't know. But
we just took a boat over here with women in bikinis to this podcast. So something must have rubbed off.
We went with her. You know, this is back when I was in high school, so I had a one of those box cameras, those rectangle cameras.
Yeah, with like cardboard around them.
Yeah, and then me and my friend, we took photos with them, and we're all doing this.
Oh my God, do you have those?
I have to find it, but I do have it somewhere. And
then he got arrested.
What did he get arrested for? Like just
hopefully at that
stuff?
Seminar.
Yeah, it was at a downtown hotel somewhere around like Queen and University. And he rented out the room in the hotel.
Was it packed?
No. It was a room that could fill about 500 to 700 people.
Yeah.
And there must have been about 50 of us.
Yeah.
And nobody was there for a joke. And I started to feel bad because, like, here's the two of us. We were on a PA day, right?
Yeah.
From high school. And here are the two of us. We're going down as a joke. We're totally. I remember in the photos, I had a suicidal tendencies hat.
Right.
So, anyone who could see that, this is.
Well, that's the thing. We're speaking that language, that secret language. Right.
So, I felt bad because I saw people who were obviously unemployed and desperate.
Right.
And we're just taking the piss out of this guy. I just wanted a photo and, it's somewhere there. Somewhere.
But I think it also, it's like, maybe it's a population density thing, perhaps destiny. A little destiny, population destiny. Less people in Canada. But I also think Canadians are just like so, sometimes tragically, but we're very pragmatic.
So
this is like, quite this Tom Vu gentleman does not look like the kind of man who should possibly invest like my 36 shekels.
But it's always, if you obviously you remember, but back
how about
the
you
day,
fucking pay me? How about you pay me to go see you?
Tom? Fuck, I'll tell you what I did. Tom, I get bottles.
Is that your Tom Vu impression?
No, that's my guy who's not going to it.
That's Gord. That's Gord screaming at the TV.
Gord's talking to his black and white television. Is it adjusting the hue it sounded, and brightness?
It sounded like Tom Vu, though.
It did weirdly sound a little bit like Tom Vu. Or wasn't there again, I get it confused with the religious people. There was obviously you had Ernest Angley, and then
the Bakers.
Oh,
I mean that's like
Jim,
a
particular.
That's kind of too. Would that be too popular for TV Carnage?
Some of them are all right, right?
Like, I mean,
isn't there a cutoff point?
If it's those
Canadian ones, you could use.
Well, here's
Circle
the thing:
Square Ranch.
Yeah. But hold on, there's that's a good question because there. Yeah, it is a little bit too on the nose, but there's so many people who believed in that stuff. I still do, like just different incarnations of people. Like the Bakers. But, I remember seeing that stuff on TV and going, there's no way this, like, you could just tell, even as a little kid, it was a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And you saw tons of adults just, like, throwing money at you. Mm-hmm. And
like
you
read swagger.
It's like one of those beautiful moments when you're a kid and you're like, oh, wait a sec. I think this whole adult thing is a facade. I think that you never become sane or know what you're doing. You just tell people who are little that you're sane and you know what you're doing.
That's true.
That's the best way to put it. Yeah.
So it was like one of those moments of clarity, and I was just going, holy fuck, there's no way this is going to work, but there's all these people lining up to give them money. Mm-hmm. So like that aspect of it is hard to show, but like if you could catch like, if there's a particular, I would look for like that one perfect sentence in their sales pitch, right? That really was like the telling moment, or when Tammy Baker would be pilled out of her mind and just kind of do something, her eyes would be a bit googly.
You wanted
the
tell. You wanted
the tells,
the
weird tells that should be a big red alarm going off in people's living rooms. Going, do not.
You were like a zoom. You were like zooming in, essentially, on like the people's eyes. Like, take a quick look.
And I just love, those are the moments I love. It's just the way somebody says something, the way somebody looks at something. And, even on TV Carnage, it can be something about, like John Holmes, for example, did this intro to this porn compilation, and it's him sitting at this desk, and he's like, I don't know what it is. And he's trying, and so you have a porn star trying to sound like he's
You know,
like a guy with a desk. And like, he knows about desks.
He's trying to look. He is. He's trying to like act like he's like, look, I'm a credible member of society. I'm an intelligent man. And he's putting on airs to the point where you're like, okay, this is, you fuck people on camera for a living. That's what you do. And now you're sitting behind a desk. I guess the desk is supposed to convince us that you're responsible. But on his desk, it was like the weirdest assortment of just lazy props. And then right behind him on the wall, as he's talking about how sophisticated LA is a giant velvet sombrero with like, and then like a fish. And I was like, nice. Yeah. Nice, John. Great choices for your fucking office. Anyways, but I mean, you know, it's so, I guess it, for me, it just came down to, you know, these, it was like the periphery, you know, of like things that sometimes are really apparent, but there's always something else going on. I try to pick as many things that are layered. And then in doing that and curating that, I would put all this shit together and you know, I became fairly adept at, I learned a new way to edit. Right, and then I think people that turned people on too.
Was it a constant thing when you were doing these compilations of like, geez, I wish I started 3 years earlier?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always the one that got away. It's like I was saying before, there's always these clips. But I'm kind of glad I didn't. I mean, when I used to do this with two VCRs, and I did it so much that it basically, I mean, nobody was really doing it, so I just looked like I was insane. But for my friends that I made it for, and that's all I cared about, made it for myself and like a group of friends, they all got it. And now people do it, and it's like it's their vocation, right? It's like they, there's so many people doing it now. It's just like, oh, that's what I do for a living. And people are also, like, that's totally fine.
The internet is so clip based now, not to do that thing where I go, and then the internet came along, and you know, well, but it is true, right? It's like that Billy Joel clip that was just floating around last week of him in Russia yelling at the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know if you both did you see this clip?
No,
it's amazing. It's like he's playing his keyboard and singing a song, but he looks mad, and every once in a while in the middle of the song he goes, "Stop lighting the audience!" You know, but, you know, a factory girl or whatever.
No,
like,
what?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Is it a recent tour?
No, it's from 1987. Wow. It's like footage that came out, you know, was just captured or brought to attention now that was probably floating around for years, you know?
Probably in a box underneath Lennon.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's really good that it's like, the editing became such an important part of Carnage pretty early on. Like when I remember when I first met you when I was like 18 or 19, and we were at a party at your house, and you
where you met him.
Yes, we played a show. Team Card Combo played, and then we got invited to a party at a guy who worked for Vice's house.
Yeah, man.
And
you know, A-list. You went right to the A-list, man.
Right to the A-list. And actually, it was sort of before Vice was even that crazy a thing. I think it was like after the newspaper one, but before like the New York stuff and all that shit, if it was 98, you know? So,
but you mean like,
I was interested in Vice. I was really into what they were doing, even as a newspaper, you know?
Well, that was, that kind of goes back to what you were saying before with the thing with Tom Vu, where you had your suicidal hat on, and that was like a transmission to people who got it. You know what I mean?
There was nobody in the room.
There was nobody else in the room. There was nobody around.
There was like nobody else here is even on this.
I remember I felt, should I wear this hat? Because that'll give it away.
Right. And then you're like, how the fuck, what the fuck's Tom Boo going to do? Like, oh, wait, that's a suicidal hat. No. Don't mock me.
You're suicidal.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Normally it's
give
me.
Give me your money before you kill yourself.
But, and it's weird to think now, you know, with the way that the internet, again, to bring the internet up, but the way that sarcasm and that kind of thing got really confused, I think, and again, people would sort of accuse a lot of, like, with Vice or that kind of stuff, like some sort of a lazy kind of irony or sarcasm, but it was very pointed, I thought, most of the time. I mean, even the John Holmes thing, the reason it's so interesting is because of the fucking context of John Holmes.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot of layers there.
Like, just this is a guy who, like, died of HIV, went to fucking Italy and had unprotected sex. You know, like, he has, like, the seamiest backstory.
Yeah, I mean, like, was complicit in beating people to, like beating people's brains from the interior of their skull onto shag carpeting.
And yet, if you
because he was caught up in, like, crack and coke.
Yeah.
Oh, did he actually kill somebody?
Well, he claims he didn't, but he claims he was, like, standing there trembling with a bat in his hand. while the other guys did it in front of him. But everybody else was like, oh no, John got in there. John got a couple of licks in.
Yeah.
So
I mean, and that kind of thing, it is what it all kind of comes down to, you know. And like, you go and you see Tom Vu is like some sort of, it's like that thing, it's where you're just like, oh, it's bullshit, you know. Like,
but it was beyond bullshit. Tom Vu was beyond bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Vu is like, I'm like, is this is a real thing? Like Ernest Angley and Jim Baker, you know, they're reverends or whatever and pastors. This guy's in a boat. I don't know what he was. Was he Vietnamese? And he was surrounded by these chicks that are way out of his league.
Yeah.
And it was something. I mean, everything's
so obviously rented.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I mean, it's just like, it's like watching somebody boldly go forward with the most unbelievable lie in the world, mm-hmm. and they just keep telling you about this thing they did that is impossible. And, but, and that's like, wow, you're not going to stop, are you? So you start becoming fascinated with the story and with them because they have no way of stopping.
Yep. Yeah.
They're so sociopathic, they just keep going with it. Like, okay, now you've just turned into something fascinating that I want to put on my shelf.
And then, but infomercials always would kind of get to that point. Maybe it is that idea.
But infomercials were the hard sell, but I mean, there was just like people trying to effectively, like I was, you know, the same thing with like, you know, now think movies like Anchorman make fun of it and everything, but I was obsessed with news stories, with news mm-hmm. banter, with, you know, again, like when things were like more about being awesome. Yeah, it's always so good. And it's always people who are so out of touch, and it's their way of telecasting that we're still in touch. Yeah, so I was like taping, like I was taping every news anchor I could find talking about raves,
yeah, right.
and ecstasy.
Well, that's another thing about
like, every time they said it, it was like, another ecstasy bus at a rave this evening.
Right.
And
you had Bill O'Reilly on Inside Edition. Being, you know, you had.
Yeah, man.
But the banter of news anchors after the news has been told and they've got like 30 seconds to kill is priceless.
Oh, yeah.
Were you compiling all that?
I still do. But yeah, I was, you know, now people are like turned onto it more. And, you know, they'll. Here's what's interesting, too. Every talk show, if you don't have a video segment now, where you're showing something that you found on
Toshing,
TV.
Where it's like a Tosh kind of thing.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for years now. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't been, you know, if you don't do that now, that's just, you're not part of the late night landscape.
Yeah.
Right. So and what's interesting is
daytime
like,
landscape.
Kimmel does it really well. Kimmel mm-hmm. curates stuff really well. And then you'll go to like Leno and you're like, there's a perfect example of people just not fucking getting it.
So you're actually kind of getting this insanely meta thing, which would be like, a clip you could almost use of Jay Leno trying to be like, look at this weird commercial on TV.
Yeah.
Jay Leno impression.
Yeah.
it's pretty easy to do.
I know. I'm Jay Leno. He's longer talking.
God, that guy is awesome.
Yeah, it just keeps going with him because he's so driven, you know, in his cars that he's obsessed with.
Like, and his motorcycles.
Yeah, his motorcycles. And, you know, there's all these people. That's another
thing. I wonder
if
he ever drives his motorcycle inside of a car because he's so
He's got like a loop-de-loop kind of like, you know, like a motorcycle, like a little circle he can do like wheelies around in the middle of his car.
Is he married?
Yeah, to Mavis. Talk about Jay. He's been famously married to Mavis for years.
Mavis, you know? Leno?
Mavis Leno. And she comes with him on all of his shows.
Why have I missed this?
They have no children.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
maybe
there's no children.
Talks about his kids.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and he'll just be like, Mavis. You know, like he'll say something about Mavis really quickly.
So weird.
Really? He mentions her in his
very
monologues?
Briefly, I think he'll bring her up. Like, I don't even, maybe more in his books or something.
She sounds like a fictional character.
You've read
Mavis.
Books?
Mavis sounds. No, but he has books.
I'm ashamed that I didn't know that, but I'm also kind of proud.
It's weird.
How
that
do
I
you
know
watch TV as a normal person?
Did you see me
without wanting to pick something up or without wanting to record something or grab something? How do you do that now? Isn't it a constant search?
It is. It's getting. Well, here's the other thing. People now are trying to make themselves. People are trying to create memes of themselves on purpose, which is equally fascinating. Yeah. Now there's like a new venue of people just.
Their own picture of themselves.
Well, I mean, just like they're just like, I'm going to do something. Like, we're going to do something mm-hmm. so absurd that someone's going to pick it up and talk about it.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? So that's even like that landscape of human being, this new landscape of people trying to be weird, and I've been tossing this phrase around that I refer to as squeered, when squares try to be weird. So then you're just like, that's not legitimately weird. That's just square. That's like somebody purposely trying to be weird. Right. And then even within that, it gets so meta that you're like, but there is a part of it that is so delectable. Right. And if you look in the, because people will look at the whole thing and go, ha, ha, that's so weird. But then you'll just like look in like one of the corners of it and you're like, but there is something really fucked up going on, even against their own.
Yeah,
like against you within. Know, like yeah, within yeah. like against mm-hmm. against them, you know. What am I trying to say? Basically, against all the squared odds. No, that's not what I'm trying to say either.
Squared odds, you
know, against their own makeup or their own.
Yeah, purpose. You know. Yeah, exactly. Like it's still
transparency is. They're still the visible man.
Yeah, you know? I mean, like they're being betrayed, right? Yeah, they're still betraying themselves. Is what I'm essentially trying to say, and it's like that betrayal that I'm obsessed with.
Well, I've been telling
why.
People-
And I'm going to segue into my new show again. Oh, yeah. That's why Hot Package is, like, amazing to me. Because I got, and being able to do a show on Adult Swim is amazing. Because I can say to Mike Lazo, like, I want to get Pat O'Brien. And I just hear him going,
yeah,
get him! You know? And then I just, like, the next day, phone calls are made. And we have, you know, Pat O'Brien's on. And Pat O'Brien, he's, like, the godfather of, like, Access Hollywood and all these shows. He was, like, the man for a while. He was, like, the entertainment go-to guy. And then he left a bunch of messages that were not so great. And that got him canned, as well as he went and got help for drinking, bless him, and all that stuff. But, you know, he was going off the rails, and he was doing it publicly. And then they canned him, and now he's on my show.
Yeah.
Like, kind of standing next to the godfather of entertainment television.
The best thing
ever. That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty. And so even on that level, even there's like a generation of people who have no idea who he is.
It doesn't matter.
Which is crazy, it doesn't matter because he, think about it. Because he trans, again, he just like, he is that. Yeah, like he yeah. transmits that. He's got the voice. He's got the look. Like he's so perfect. Like he's so good at what he does mm-hmm. that he's that guy.
But
yeah.
he's also, and this is what's kind of awesome, he's also a little bit older and a little bit more like, from all this, like there's like a wariness to him,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
which is so perfect for what you're going for.
Yeah.
You know, like.
He's almost like, if, yeah, like if Tolkien could write about the entertainment industry, he's like a wizard.
I mean, I was always fascinated by Pat O'Brien. In general, because
before the calls, before the
way
scandal,
before the calls,
oh yeah, yeah,
way
me
before
too.
The calls, really? Because he just because
there was like this weird like, energy there where you knew something energy. Was like not quite. There, not,
like,
not,
why is this guy an entertainment reporter? Like, how did he get here?
But it's, you can just tell one of the pistons was like misfiring every once in a while, yeah, and you're like, yeah, I gotta yeah. keep an eye on that one. When you're watching Hot Package, it is like, I try to make it this frenetic, and as I was saying before, I use all of, basically, I take a look at the guidelines that they provide for me on these entertainment shows, and I just make my own parallel universe version of it, and it comes on right after the Eric Andre show on Adult Swim, which is a show, which I helped write for as well, so this is fantastic, and I think it's, you know, not to sound self-aggrandizing or a jerk, but I really do think it's a special half hour of TV. Like, I think Hot Package is a great show. I think Eric Andre's show is a great show. Eric Andre, it does this, you know, this genius parallel universe version of a
I couldn't
talk
believe
show.
It when I finally saw that
and
show.
And then, you know, right after that, Hot Package. So you just, like, go from this insane talk show right into this insane entertainment show. And
both hosted by, like, Jewish black guys.
That's insane.
With big hair. You know, like,
yeah.
But I love both. I mean, Hot Package is amazing, by the way, for anyone listening. It's so good. I've seen it, and you should watch it. That's all I can say. You will find all of your dreams within this
Thank
11
you.
Minutes.
It's
really
pretty,
fun.
I'm really excited to do it, and I'm doing it absolutely with Tim and Eric. Pat O'Brien will be coming back.
That's awesome.
That's great news.
Season.
That's amazing.
Fingers crossed.
Anastasia it's great that you can take
Anastasia
these.
Anastasia Roark. She's fantastic.
These like C or D listers, and
A-list, baby.
You know who he has on
them.
His show?
They're all A-list to us. That's the thing. I know. They're all A-list.
To me, do you know who Scary Perry is? Do you know Perry? No. He's the star of Windy City Heat.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy is all over Hot Package.
You've I do a bloopers episode.
Okay, well then, is that for real?
Yeah.
Windy City Heat was...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe, but Perry really enjoys the limelight. Mm-hmm. He wants to be a star. And he's becoming well known because he's the guy who wanted to be the star.
But he knows a little bit about he has a kick me sign on
you
the
have
back.
To watch the
he
commentary.
Knows, he knows that he does have a kick me sign on his back, but at the same time, he's a bit of a goldfish flying by the same rock over and over again, going, "Whoa, that's a cool rock. Whoa, that's a cool rock."
You gotta
Whoa.
Watch.
So he once in a while, like even though he does have a kick me sign on his back, and he. Sometimes he knows it's there, and it's always there. And then, so sometimes when somebody kicks him, he's like, "What the? Why'd you do that? What the fuck?" Like he'll just freak out. And he does, you know. And he's all these great things. He's an outspoken. He gets angry really easily. He's like a homophobe to a huge degree. Yeah,
To a
suspicious degree.
Yeah.
The movie is amazing.
You got to watch the commentary track. I found that as fascinating
on Windy City Heat
because it's filmed like the Stuck in the Closet commentary track, which we watched together, Derek, if you recall.
We did.
Yeah, and where it's like showing him, it's a video camera of him watching the movie as much as it is clips from the movie. So. Watching what he has to say and the way he looks when he's reacting to it and trying to explain his take on whether it's fake or not is also fascinating. And then they also kind of prank him in that part. So Windy City Heat, the commentary is as good as the movie.
I'll send you the bloopers episode we did because it's me, it's myself, Pat O'Brien, and Perry. And... we keep showing bloopers. So every time Pat O'Brien and I show a blooper, we're having like a blast. Like we're laughing. We're like,
Does Pat O'Brien think of this? Doesn't he have an inkling? Like,
yeah, he's a smart dude. He knows that. Well, here's the thing. It's like I don't want to fuck with Pat O'Brien. Like I don't want to make him a punchline.
You're not
that's what's important to me. But I want him there because this whole genre is the punchline and this show or this whole format's the punchline and he is so part of that. He knows he is. Okay. Right? So
if he's cool with it then.
And it's a smart move to be like that. Yeah, to be willing, to be game, you know, is so good.
Yeah, I mean like and Pat O'Brien's he's a maniac. He's got like 1,000 stories for every, and as soon as you mention somebody's name, he's got like 50 stories about
them.
That's awesome. He's, you know, he's been bathing in Hollywood for so long. So there's no way, you know, he's not clued out. It's not like he doesn't realize that it's a completely insane industry and that he's part of it and he was part of distributing this insanity to the world. He's totally aware of it. But he, you know, the great thing about the show is that we do everything straight, you know? Like it's I try not to play a character so much as just, you know, he totally does it straight and I guess I kind of am a particularly kind of schmarmy guy.
I mean, you know, you're a host. You're playing the entertainment show host. That's all. And I mean, in the interviews before I've read it where you say Hot Package is an alternate universe where the celebrities are Perry, where the celebrities are that Canadian kid who sings at the White House, you know? And
at the Pentagon.
Yeah, at the Pentagon. And it's really neat to think of because that really is your world within TV Carnage that actually is... You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's that universe, but imagine there was an entertainment show
that catered to that shit.
right.
And took it seriously.
There should be like a competition.
Because I just didn't want to have another show that was like, hey, look at this guy doing this.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
even
I wanted to
TV.
Like just let every... Because the thing is, if you let the stuff speak for itself, it's genius, you know? But it's... I find that a lot of these shows, when they're pointing stuff out and everything, it's like they're taking you on a tour of a museum, but they're standing in front of every fucking painting.
Right.
So you can't even see it. They're just like, yeah, trust me, this thing's, you know, and you're like, oh, I can't, you know, I can't do it.
And there's a lot of, you know, I was going to say, like, daytime TV even is doing this thing that you were talking about with video. Now, I saw The View yesterday, and they were like, look at the silly thing this person said on this reality show. And it's like, suddenly it becomes kind of about moralizing and taking sides and turning that into...
I love it, because when they... See, this is the thing. It just doesn't matter how it evolves. It just evolves. Or it mutates completely, like, in the most...
She really should know what the...
succulently wrong way. It just mutates... So it's like, go nuts. Go try to make fun of other people's mistakes.
Right.
Mental midgets.
It'll still be weird.
It'll still be weird.
The only source in entertainment news is here. Hot Package.
Outrageous.
Better get a closer look at this.
Oh, then.
Don't mess with me, man.
Colossal.
Plus.
Hairdresser.
Wow.
Yep.
And.
Oh, that's the bomb. Yeah.
Featuring correspondent Derek Beckles.
He simply tells it like it is.
Hot Package, Thursdays at 12:45. The only source in entertainment news.